going to talk a little bit at first, and then we'll open it up for questions. And some people sent some questions beforehand that I passed along to them, so I'm hoping they can just have those in mind when they're talking. But I thought I'd first ask Jim just to start by saying a little bit about what a Wisdom Council is, what a Creative Insight Council is, how they, what are the differences, just in brief. So, Jim, maybe you could start with that.
Well, this will be very brief. I just got back from Austria, Bregenz, and I got a chance to see sit in on a Wisdom Council process, and then a couple of days later, a Creative Insight Council process. And the basic difference is that the Wisdom Council process, the Wisdom Council is randomly selected, and they choose the topic. Now, what happened, of course, is that many people want to choose the topic and gather a random select of people and have it be dynamically facilitated, and so we've just given that a different name, and we call it a Creative Insight Council, and the intent was to keep the purity of the Wisdom Council alive and the system transformation potential alive. But the Creative Insight Council, if you change that one variable, if you choose the topic, now all of a sudden a lot of things change. Now, for instance, it's not an ongoing thing, but it's a short-term thing. And now you want to have experts come and inform people, so now you have involved more people. And now usually you might want to have pay these experts, and it might take longer, so you might have to pay the people that show up. And there's a more of a concern, you know, the value of it is that the government can do it. Government sponsors a Creative Insight Council, and the Wisdom Council maybe doesn't need to be sponsored by government, or could be, either way. So those are some of the basic differences, and one of the exciting learnings from watching what Manfred did in Bregenz, and how he had engineered that process to happen in the city of Bregenz, is it was very exciting to realize that the Creative Insight Council is a fantastic tool that government can use to relieve the stresses of the partisanship. For instance, Barack Obama today wants bipartisanship, and he's being blocked by the system. And if he convened a Creative Insight Council, I believe he could end run that whole problem, and there wouldn't be any ability for people to resist being would have to come together, because we'd have a voice of the citizens involved. So with that, I'll turn it over to Manfred, and maybe you could describe your experience of what you've been doing in especially the last example.
Yeah, we started some years ago in 2006 with our first Wisdom Council in Wolfurt, also in our area. And from the very beginning, there was some interest to do something with a topic chosen by the mayor or by the government. Do you understand me?
Yeah. Yes,
could you maybe people push the six and star to mute some of the background noise?
Maybe it's interesting for you to hear first something about my background. I'm working for a state government agency. It's called Office for Future Related Issues. And we are directly reporting to the governor, but anyway, we see ourselves somewhere in between government and public citizens. And what we could see or learn during the last years of our work, that governments have more and more difficulties to find working solutions for many current problems. And the reason for this growing difficulties is because the diversity in society is increasing rapidly, and this makes it very difficult for the politicians to estimate what people think and need and want. And another problem is the huge influence of stakeholders, especially from the economic sector. So, and on the other hand, we have an exclusion of citizens, and this makes it very difficult to find appropriate answers for the current challenges. So we were trying to check out new approaches, new ideas, and I'm very grateful that we came across the work of Jim Ruff. And from the very beginning, I thought that the Wisdom Council have a huge potential, and it took us 2 years to find a municipality who was willing to give it a try. And meanwhile, we did 5 Wisdom Councils and 2 CICs. And maybe I can tell you something about the most recent CIC we did in Bregenz. Bregenz is a small city, 40,000 inhabitants, and it's in the western part of Austria, situated directly at the Lake of Constance. And Bregenz did a development project. They planned a new harbor, and this project was a complete disaster because the project there are two major political parties, and they both were sure they represent the public opinion, but they have diverse approaches to how to develop this harbor area. And they also tried out political public participation approaches, but in a very dilettante way, and the result was a waste of money, a waste of time, and they couldn't figure out the solution. And that was the point where we stepped in, and we suggested to the mayor to try out a CIC to find a solution, but not for this harbor project. This was already stuck. But we told the mayor if he has another development project, he could start it with a CIC. And he, from the beginning, he was very interested, and he gave us the opportunity. There was a second huge development project. It's called the Lake Area Development Project. It's worth around $85 million US dollars. And you can imagine that it's a very crucial and important project for the city. And the investors also agreed to try out a CIC. So we invited 100 people who were randomly selected. We got almost 20 people who registered to participate, and actually 12 people attended the CIC. And the interesting thing is that within a very short period of time, the people developed a very interesting statement. They said the greatest attraction for Bregenz is its situation at the Lake of Constance, but the lake and the town are divided by train and highway, and they said that it's a chance of the century for the city to improve these connections, this connection between the city and the lake, to bring them closer together. And the funny thing is that the planners, who already worked for 2 years on this project, they were dealing with issues of the density of the buildings and how many floors and the architecture, but they didn't think of this point. And afterwards, everybody said it's obvious, but nobody took this into account. And so when we had the presentation of the statement, it was a big breakthrough, both for the development project, but also the public recognition of Wisdom Councils and CICs. And today we have I see a very bright future for further Wisdom Councils and CICs in our area.
Fabulous. Great, Manfred. Thank you for giving us some of the background. It's exciting to hear about. I guess I'd just like to open it up to anyone who has questions or comments.
I have a question. It might be early. Can you hear me? Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. How did the rest of the country find out about the Wisdom Council or the CIC? I mean, did you describe the process to them? Or you said it was a breakthrough in the awareness of CICs. How did that happen? How did that information spread? Was it through your office or?
Yeah, because this development project is of huge public interest, we had a great media coverage. We were in regional television, we were in radio and in the newspapers, so there was a broad recognition of the process and the outcome.
Uh-huh. So there were very clear descriptions of how the process worked, stuff like that. I'm just thinking about what kind of promotional material is useful, how to write about it so people get it.
You have to take into account that we are working on this issue of Wisdom Council since several years. And we try to inform especially the interested public and the mayors and the regional government about what we are doing. We have newsletters, we have publications, and so more and more people learn about the Wisdom Councils and the CICs. But it's exactly right. It's a lot of information work necessary because usually people have no idea about what a Wisdom Council is, and many people don't have an idea what is meant with public participation.
Right.
So they think it may be an event where people come together and discuss something or. From the political point of view, if you do a survey to find out what people think, this may be some sort of public participation. But Wisdom Council and CICs are still not well enough known, so there's information work necessary.
Mm-hmm. What was the structure between the government and the citizens on the council? Did the government participate directly in the council? Was there one council, or did they break up into subcommittees?
Usually we invite the mayor to open the Wisdom Council. He just makes a short introduction. He welcomes the participant, says thank you to them, and after that he leaves. So he just attends for 10 minutes or so, and then the rest of the Wisdom Council is just with the facilitators and the participants. And the public and the mayor comes in again when the public statement is given.
I have a question. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. One of the learnings that we've had here in the United States is that sometimes when we use dynamic facilitation in a Wisdom Council or in a CIC or even just a meeting, people can be really amazed and surprised and very happy with the results of the meeting, but sometimes they don't realize maybe why the results were so good. And so, for instance, we've had people who have one of the first Wisdom Councils we had here in the Rogue Valley in Oregon, we've had people who were very pleased with the outcome and yet who left not really having any understanding that the facilitation process that we use is a very crucial ingredient to making this a successful outcome. So I was just wondering if you might comment on how that has been for you and to what extent you guys have promoted the dynamic facilitation as an essential component of the Wisdom Council process.
Usually we have a short introduction into the method of dynamic facilitation at the beginning of a Wisdom Council. So for us it's very important to say to the people, this is an easy method that you also can use for your problems and finding solutions or to create trust creating. But on the other hand, maybe it's a little bit too high expectation to think that people are really interested in the method itself. Actually, I think it even doesn't matter if people don't know what method you use. But on the other hand, for us, it would be very great if the DF method itself would spread more and more.
Okay, thank you.
Manfred, I have a question. This is Dean.
Yeah?
Can you say more about how you were able to get the mayor or anyone else in the local government to accept or be willing to try the CIC? What did that take? Was there personal contact? Were there connections in advance, et cetera? How did you get that support?
From our institution, we have 96 different municipalities in our region, and we have pretty close connections to the most of them since many years. And it's, for me, it's very much a question of trust, to build trust between both sides. Actually, the participants distrust the government, and the government distrusts the citizens. And we see our role in bringing them together and building the trust between them. And for me, it's very obvious. If you did a wisdom council, we do an evaluation of every wisdom council. And I would say 99.9% of the participants are very skeptical in the beginning, and they are excited after the Wisdom Council. They always say that they are not interested in parties, political parties, but they are very interested in becoming a part of shaping their area where they are living in. And for the politicians, it's just a question of the outcome of a Wisdom Council, and it proves to be so beneficial. It saves money, it saves time, you get more identification and public acceptance. And for me, the most compelling thing is that you do some sort of political education, empowerment, even though you don't even talk about that. So it's just a great experience for anybody. But in the beginning, everybody distrusts each other, and that's the main obstacle to overcome.
I have another question. One of our struggles here in the United States is that public participation has come to mean almost like the more numbers of people you can include, the better, and the more high technology you can use, the better. So, for instance, an organization called America Speaks that hosts meetings where they have thousands of people all in small tables and a lot of computers to get their input, but it's very much based on voting and majority, minority, and like that, although they do have some amount of discussion, dialogue, like that. So a lot of times when we try and describe the Wisdom Council to people, one of the biggest obstacles we find is that people have a hard time understanding how a small group of people, even though they're a microcosm, can, you know, it's like their mind is just thinking, in order to be legitimate, you need to include more and more and more people. And so when we say, you know, we have a Wisdom Council with 12 people, it can be really hard for people to wrap their brains around how that can be reflective of the larger whole.
Mm.
Could you comment on that, maybe?
A few years ago, there was published a book with the name The Wisdom of the Many, and for me, this is an interesting explanation how ordinary people and just a random selection of ordinary people can find out qualified results that are comparable with expert level. And for me, the most convincing argument as regards politicians is that usually if you have, for example, 200 people in a room, those who express themselves are not representative. They are stakeholders. This is a special type of people who has the courage to talk in front of a big audience. And for me, it's almost like a miracle that it's possible that you randomly select people, just 12 to 16 people, and you have to experience what's happening there. And we a few years ago we did a similar thing when we had several different participation methods we did in parallel. We had a random selection of young people, a random selection of adult people, and we had an expert group, 50 experts. And we compared the results of these three groups, and the almost unbelievable thing for us was that the quality of results of the citizens was at least at the same level as of experts.
Did you write anything about that? Is it possible to get a copy of that and translate it into English so we can make it better known in this country?
We published a book about this experience. I'm glad to send it to you.
Oh, wonderful.
But unfortunately, all is in German. Most of our stuff is in German.
Well, one of the things that we need to do is we need to start translating some of the things that are written in German into English. I just want to say that, you know, this isn't the first time that there's been something very interesting discovered in this part of the world, but that does not become popular here first, becomes popular somewhere else first. You know, the whole thing with quality improvement was originally created by a person who was from here, but it wasn't until the Japanese people started to pick up on it that we started to hear about it over here. And I think, unfortunately, we're in a very much the same kind of a position with regards to dynamic facilitation and the Wisdom Council and all of those things. They're much more popular in German than in English, so we need to start translating all of your materials.
Yeah, I agree completely with you. For me, the work of Jim is absolutely incredible. And for me, the Wisdom Council is a key to find better solutions to the current challenges of our society. It sounds a little bit pathetic, but to unlock democracy. And for me, it's almost unbelievable that this method was invented in your country, and now you listen to me about our experiences here in Austria. Unbelievable.
Although it was definitely Dr. Deming made a tremendous difference and wasn't heard here in America until the Japanese. But he felt, though, and this is what I'd like to get information, facilitation wasn't important, but it was a tool of something bigger. So I hope we address that a little bit later. Since I work directly with Dr. Deming, I'm well aware of his feelings.
So, hello, it's Dan Doherty in Canada.
Oh, welcome, Dan.
Hi. I have a question/comment just with respect to this intercultural exchange. I'm wondering what innovations in Germany we can import and popularized for them. Since it does seem to be this, it's the expert from out of town with a briefcase syndrome, where we take in expertise from other places sometimes and don't listen to our own. So maybe there's something that we can import in this same family of concepts that we're working with.
Maybe sometimes you have to export first something so you can import it afterwards and to appreciate it.
That's true.
This is Jim. Hey, Manfred, you did the Creative Insight Council, and you described that, and then I stayed. Well, no, I also got an opportunity to watch you do a Wisdom Council process with Bray Gentz almost the same weekend. Maybe you could describe that too.
I'm not sure if I understood your question.
Well, everybody heard the story about the Creative Insight Council that happened on Monday night, but Friday, I guess it was Friday and Saturday, there was a Wisdom Council process. Did I say it wrong? Yeah, on Monday night happened the Creative Insight Council, but on Thursday and Friday happened the Wisdom Council. And I was wondering if you could describe what happened in the Wisdom Council, because I thought that was really interesting, how the group came without a topic, and they basically, well, they basically started with the topic, how to make Bregenz a more European city, and then through the conversation process, how they awakened to the idea, it was like a breakthrough, that the real issue here is that we have parallel populations in the town, one of whom is, like, for instance, the Turkish live in town, and there really isn't this connection. And how do we really integrate this whole other marginalized population? And I thought that was really telling that it was happening at the same time as this other process that was more directed at a project, that in the background was the Wisdom Council happening, and it was identifying this community building momentum that needed to happen.
Mm. Yeah, maybe I have to say something about, for me, the major difference, there is not so much, for me, there is not such a big difference between CICs and Wisdom Councils. It's true that the CICs start with an issue that is not chosen by the participants, but we always make it clear that the participants themselves decide if they want to stay with the issue or not. So even after a short period of time, they can switch over to a completely different issue. And for me, it's really fascinating that people usually tend within a short period of time to switch over from more individual issues to more general issues, commonwealth issues, and that are important for the public. And so it's fascinating to watch people how they switch from their usual mode where they just see themselves and are more egoistic, and if they hear other points of view and opinions, they get into a complete different mode, and they become very responsible for the public, and they come up with different solutions. So it was not that astonishing for me when they came to the issue of migration and how to integrate people. It was a great group.
Manfred, I have a question. Do you have any sense of how much of this relates to the German culture, which seems to have always had a strong thread of cooperation and social consciousness and all that?
As far as I know, you have a huge tradition of communities and democracy, and therefore the U.S. should be predestinated to be on the forefront to develop these things. What is actually true is that we have a high level of personal engagement of volunteers in our region, and some sort of distrust to everything from the government, and especially from the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
Have you had any councils which have included both citizens and members of government working together?
We had one regional wisdom council in the Great Walsa Valley, where also some former politicians were in the group. That was somehow by random. And for me it was astonishing that it proved to be beneficial, because sometimes issues were raised that could be answered by those former politicians. So, but actually, I think it's not really necessary to have them in the group. It's better to have them in the presentation. And for me, that's also a very important point, that first, when we started with the experiments of wisdom councils and CICs, our greatest fear was that the citizens are not capable to develop good solutions and good statements. But after 7 wisdom councils, for me the biggest challenge is the reaction of the politicians. If they are really open-minded for the results, if they are really willing to take them into consideration and to do their best to implement the suggestions of the biggest issue.
Manfred, I wonder if you could speak, I think, with the creative insight story that you shared, the group that was selected was educated a little bit about the issue. So there was a role in terms of the architects or somebody presenting what had been worked on so far. So I wonder if you could speak a little bit about what that role of experts or government officials or whatever was in educating the Creative Insight Council about the issue.
Yeah. We invited the main architect of this development project to present the raw version of a master plan for this development project. And he had, it was 20 to 30 minutes to present the current planning state. We asked him if he could attend the whole afternoon of the first day, if there were any questions, but it showed that there were some questions just after his presentation. But he left the Wisdom Council very early, and he didn't stay the whole afternoon. So this is also a sign that it's good to have an introduction from an expert, but his influence is minor, because the people start quickly to think themselves, and he doesn't influence the outcome.
Thank you. And then, Jim, I wondered if you could respond. Earlier, Marianne was asking, she was commenting about her work and knowing Deming, and that facilitation was just a tool to this bigger thing. And so,
a very important tool.
A very important tool, but yeah. I wonder, Jim, if you could speak to dynamic facilitation's importance in what's happening in these councils, or I don't know if you have a response to what Marianne was bringing up.
Well, yeah, I mean, to me, the key reason why this works is the quality of thinking that we establish through dynamic facilitation. And that quality of thinking, I mean, Deming pointed to it, but he didn't have the tools to get it into place, I think. He kept pointing at it. You know, people kept saying, I mean, here he is, a PhD statistician, and And he's saying it's not about measurement. You can't measure. So the essence of it is, how do we get that quality of thinking to happen? And then the quality of thinking has a resonant quality. In other words, it's kind of like when you're standing there talking to people in a group and somebody just starts to speak from the heart and tell you what they really think, it just kind of, there's a quiet in the room and everybody just kind of looks at that person and they just command attention at that moment. And that's the same thing, is that in dynamic facilitation, we're wanting that sense of authenticity where people just talk from the heart what's really going on, what's really important, and it just has a resonance that we all pay attention when that kind of talking happens. And so that's, to me, it's about assuring or somehow engineering that kind of talking, and everything starts to click after that.
This is Lori from CVI, Marianne's Gould's group. When Manfred mentioned a while back the comparative study where you had experts meeting versus non-experts, and the quality, I think he said the quality of the outcomes was either the same or maybe he even said better with the non-experts. I'm not sure what he said, but regardless, how did you measure that?
We didn't measure it with figures, but you can compare the suggestions of the experts with the suggestions of the non-experts. And what I said is that the non-experts, the ordinary people, gave excellent recommendations to the government. And if you think a little bit closer, it's clear that if you want to, for example, if you want to buy new shoes and you go to a shop, who is the person who really knows if the shoe fits? It's just you and not the shopkeeper or the clerk who wants to sell you something. And that's a lesson we learned, that we have to trust ordinary citizens, because they are experts for their life, and we have to listen more closely to them.
You made a reference before to the significant amount of volunteers, either in the country or the region, or could you say a little bit more about that?
There are different surveys who try to figure out the percentage of people who are willing to volunteer. And there is a difference between, for example, northern Germany and southern Germany. And Austria is just in the south of Germany, bordering to south Germany. And in our region, we have a traditionally high percentage of people who are willing to volunteer. It's around 47%. 10 years ago, it was around 56%, so we had a decline. But if you compare it with northern Germany, it's still far beyond that. In northern Germany, I guess it's around 30-32%.
And volunteer for what? Any volunteer activity?
Any volunteer activity.
And how did that affect your... the Wisdom Council or the CIC, would you say? Is that what you were saying?
I'm not sure if you're familiar with with social capital. We are working very intensively since almost 10 years on the issue of social capital, and this concept says that the more people are engaged, the higher is their willingness to participate in political processes,
mm-hmm.
and the higher is the life quality in an area.
Mm-hmm.
You have lower crime rates, you have higher health conditions, you have a better educational system if people are more engaged.
Great, thank you.
Manfred, I was wondering about something. You had said that initially your concern was about whether ordinary people would have, you know, the wisdom, but that since you've been doing this, you've discovered that that's not a problem and you feel very comfortable with that, but that now your biggest challenge is wondering about the reaction of the politicians and how open they will be to the participation that the Wisdom Council comes up with, to the recommendations of ordinary people. And I was wondering if you thought that in order to help encourage their receptivity, it might be a useful thing to introduce the choice creating process or dynamic facilitation into the government spheres, like giving some of these government officials an opportunity, not necessarily as part of the Wisdom Council or the Creative Insight Council, but just, you know, for some of their own issues that they're meeting and working through, that if they had an experience of this kind of process that is, as Jim says, helps to bring out this quality of thinking or choice creating, if that might help them become more open-minded to the results of the Wisdom Council.
This sounds like a great idea, but I doubt if it's really possible. Our politicians, at least in our country, have no time to do anything. If we are lucky, we can win the chief officers of the administration to participate in a dialogue, for example, maybe also in DF moderated sessions, but it's almost impossible to get politicians into such a setting. And for me, it's a little bit, yeah. I have a metaphor that comes to my mind. DF and is for me something like if you invent a car or a bicycle and you don't have the streets yet, you need streets so you can use the bicycle or the car, and you don't build streets if you don't have bicycles and cars. So that's a dilemma. And for me, it's just a question of giving a try to try out as much as possible Wisdom Councils. And I guess we already have reached a turning point here in our region where politicians are very interested in this method.
Before we're over, can you say a little bit more about your group that you're in and how many people are in it and how it runs itself and all that?
Yeah, the office is called Office for Future Related Issues. It was founded 10 years ago. We are 8 people with very different backgrounds. We have political scientists, ethnologists, biologists, sociologists, so very different people. We have a budget per year of approximately $1 million, and that's quite a lot for such a small region. Our region has 370,000 inhabitants, and it's a quite unusual office. You don't have similar institutions in other countries, as far as I know. The strange thing is that we are working for the government, and we try to win people for change processes. In the 90s, our government discovered that it's not enough to have the different sectors of administration, but you have to have a unit that works across the different sectors and works together with the public to find new approaches and solutions.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
That's wonderful. Manfred. Thank you. It's wonderful to hear your voice, and you have such a wonderful way of just kind of talking through issues that brings everybody along, and I love it. I love to listen to you.
Yeah, are there any other
questions? I'd like to say well done.
Yeah,
and are there any other questions or closing comments?
I just would like to add something. For me, I'm very grateful for this opportunity to share my experiences with you, but again, I have to say that it's all it is only possible because Jim and Jean and Deanna do such a great work, and somehow I feel a little bit ashamed that in the U.S. this work is not recognized yet as it should be.
May I ask a question? And thank you for your presentation. It was excellent. If you could, if there were one change that you could make based upon what you've learned, what would it be?
One thing that I learned. The hidden, the huge, the almost immeasurable hidden potential that is in our society.
Oh, that part I thoroughly agree on. But how would you, that's a learning. If there was a change in what you're doing and have been doing, and you could wave a magic wand, what would that change be based upon how far you've come? What would be the next major evolution? Am I phrasing that correctly? You have tremendous insight. You've seen a lot. What would you like to see as the next phase of developing if you had a next level of the councils?
If I could, if I had a wish, I would like to be in touch with many people who do similar work to exchange experiences. And what we try to do now is to do as many wisdom councils as possible in many, many different types of settings to learn out of these experiences. And it would be great to connect with other people who do similar work to learn from each other.
I applaud you for the recognition of the hidden energy that is in the people, but do the people themselves, are the councils always all together, or do you ever break them into subgroups that may take a section of the project?
The people always stay together in the whole group. Only in the at the very end, when they try to formulate the statement, we split up the group to make it easier for them to formulate sentences.
Does the group then have like a team leader who works with the facilitator to pre-plan each meeting? Just more in terms of putting a little more organization, or do they decide when they get together at each meeting?
The meeting is usually on Friday afternoon and the following Saturday, the whole day. And during this time, the group is together. There is not one speaker of the group, but they agree a common statement that fits for all of them. And sometimes it's at the end of the second day, they pick three or four persons who do the presentation, the public presentation, and prepare this public presentation.
If people are interested but aren't ready to be part of a council, are they allowed in to observe?
No, we don't allow observers.
Okay.
have one more question. Manfred, do you have any idea why this hasn't taken off in the United States?
How could I answer this question?
I don't know. I mean, do you have any gut feeling? Or I know it's a really far out question, but hey.
Maybe Jim Ruff should be from Austria.
Jane, and I think that we need to not diminish Manfred's presence and who he is. He is he's in the Office of Future, so he's mandated to do this kind of work and has a tremendous amount of respect from both the people in the community and from the politicians and the mayor. Mm. And it's kind of like when Manfred speaks, they trust.
Mm-hmm.
I think that this played a huge role in bringing the process. Now that the process is proving it, now it's almost like the process is proving itself, and people can look at what has happened and want more of it. But I think in the beginning, the real trigger of getting that first bit of energy going was, you know, Manfred going to a dynamic facilitation seminar in Germany and going, yes. And he was empowered right from the beginning that he was going to bring this into his work and bring this into his community. And he has brought several other people in his office to be trained with dynamic facilitation, so that there's a whole group of them now that are familiar with the process and can help facilitate and can speak and be spokespeople in the community. So I just wanted to add that.
That's great. Thanks, Jean.
Thank you, Jean.
Well, we're almost at the end of the hour here, so are there any last closing comments before we appreciate Manfred for taking some time to explain his work to us?
Well, I just wanted to say congratulations on all of your good work, Manfred.
Thank you.
You're here.
And I also want to thank you. Alfred is here. I'm also from Austria, and I also want to exchange experiences, and thank you, Manfred. And all the others, Jim, and so on.
Thanks, Alfred.
This is Don, and this is a really inspiring hour. And I wonder, is this going to be? Has this been recorded so that some of us can disseminate it to others that might be interested in listening in?
Yes, it was recorded. I was hoping that as you joined the call, you'd hear that it was going to be recorded.
I heard them say that.
Okay. So, yes, it's been recorded, and I will send out a link on our listservs to the recording, and you have the option of either, well, there's two links. So one's a web link where you can stream it online, you can download it from online, or you can listen to it on the phone. So there's a call-in number and a code that people can enter and hear it on the phone. So there's three ways to hear it once I send you the correct information to do so.
Do you have any idea how long that'll be?
I can do it right now, actually, as soon as we're done.
Okay, that's pretty fast.
Thank you for this, Deanna.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks to you all. It was great to hear some of your voices, and we'll just keep at this all together.
And thank you very much, Manfred. It was very wonderful.
Yeah, thank you for the invitation, and many greetings to the U.S.
Thank you.
We hope to see you in San Diego.
Yep.
Yeah, that will be fun.
I hope that will work.
Yep. All right, bye-bye.